Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks to Sheikh Nuruddin and all the friends of Nuruddin here. The opportunity to come here on a regular basis is really a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanks to my Sheikh, Hazrat Azad Rasul, Alhi Ramah, who passed 1 year ago last week to a better place, leaving us destitute and in need of sohbe. And all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overall for all of this. None of us would be here but for that reality we call Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Amin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ajma'in. Allahumma fani bima alamtini wa alimni wa yanfa'uni wa zukni inman yanfa'uni. Allah benefit me by that which you have taught me. Teach me that which will benefit me. And provide me with that knowledge which benefits me. Allahumma inni nas'aluka khayra wa ma ya'tini wa ma afala wa khayra wa batna ma zahra. Well, I beg of you the best of what I bring, what I commit, and of what I do, and the good of what is concealed and what is apparent. My dear brothers and sisters and friends, accepting that whatever brought us here was one of the attributes and the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's beautiful names and qualities, we can start from there today, and at the expense of speaking right after lunch and none of us having the opportunity to take a little snooze, I'll pause for a minute while we all close our eyes, and I'll speak to those who get to open them. Oh, I'm sorry. Did we lose anybody with us? All right. You're all here? I'm good. One of the most critical subjects we have to strive to grasp and apply in our life as a Muslim, for those of us who are in the tariqah and tasawwuf of Sufism, is tadbir. And in the text that we're studying today, we're discussing today, thanks to Ibrahim and Sheikh Nuruddin, may Allah bless you and reward you eternally for this. I, even the teacher of the one who did the other translation, admitted that yours is better, but I just want to tell you that. We're studying today, Ibn Athallah Al-Mandari writes about tadbir, about planning, about managing the hopes, I think, and with the expectation, I believe, that we will give this subject a very deep and complete attention, inshallah ta'ala, if we wish, to have success in this journey to awakening to the presence and the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moreover, he strives with example after example and stories to make what is apparently difficult to understand for most of us to be easier, vis-a-vis stories of the lives of saints and quotations from Quran and the Prophet and those who have made great progress on the journey, people of Suluk. So today I'm going to try to offer a way of understanding some of the subtleties, inshallah ta'ala, and daily practical application of this teaching. This subject is of the utmost importance in terms of the realities of outward progress and our outward purposes and our end in conjunction with our inner goals. Each day we balance these two aspects of dunya to exist in reality, or what we call reality, and to sustain our awareness and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'm assuming that that's why you're here. Unless we recruited people off the street, I don't think we did. So there must be something driving your purpose for being here. And the realities of dunya and the realities of the inner state call upon us to plan and to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. To plan, to organize, to design, to arrange, to bring about, to conduct, to manage. These are all meanings of tabara. And you can think about these words and how will they apply to your day-to-day life. Think about them again. To organize. What did you organize today? Just coming here? What did you plan today? Just to come here? To arrange. Some of you got rides with other people? To bring about this result, to conduct, to manage. All these meanings are contained in this word. And tadbir specifically is the plan, but it has many of these subtle meanings too, reflected in such ayat as those quoted in the first chapter of this text of the Mutalas Kandali. فَلَا وَرَبِكَ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُكَأْخُنُتُكَ فِنَانِ سَجْرَ مَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجْدُ فِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ هَرَجًا مِنَّا قَدَائِكَ وَيُسَلُمُ تَسْلِيمًا. But know, by Allah, they can have no real faith until they make you judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and submit with their fullest submission. For the sake of time, for the sake of your ears, I'm going to just go into the English because I want to give some time if it's possible for talk. Questions? And your Lord creates in Surah Al-Fasas, he says, and your Lord creates and chooses as he pleases, and they have no choice in the matter. Glory to Allah. He is far above the partners that associate with him. And in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he has tasted the sweetness of secured faith. Amen. Who has tasted it? Who is pleased with Allah as their Lord, and with the way of submission, Islam as their religion, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Prophet, adore Allah with contentment. But if you are unable to, then there is indeed great good in patience and what you dislike. So these and many more statements were told in this dropping of self-direction by Ibn Tawas Qandari direct us to the necessity of the abandonment of tadbir for ourselves, to the leaving of contesting, to the leaving of resisting, to the leaving of outright disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the divine decrees of faith. And there is a saying we are told by Iskandari, he says, whoever does not plan for themselves is planned for by Allah. And he refers to Sheikh Abu Hassan al-Shawazali radiallahu anhu, who said, if it is such that there is no other way of action than planning, tadbir, then plan not to plan. Make no choice upon your own authority in anything, and choose not to choose. Flee from that choice, from the flight, and from everything to Allah, for your Lord creates what He wills and exercises free choice. Well, there's a challenge. Throw down the gauntlet. We're all educated. That makes no sense. It's ridiculous. Let's just forget it. The whole thing is why you can't forget. You think that Ibn Tawas al-Iskandari, even though it was centuries ago, didn't know that the heart pill to swallow? That the human mind doesn't resist that? Wallahi, things really change that much? No. What does it mean to seek, to attend, to obey the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean to be in complete submission to His judgment? How does one begin to really know the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it relates directly to your own choices, to your own plans, to the necessities beyond the philosophical, to the practical reality of day-to-day life? In the Quran it says, and he, the Prophet, does not speak from his own caprice. No, it is but revelation, divinely revealed. So his order is the order of Allah. Indeed, those who make the pledge of allegiance with you make the pledge with Allah. The hand of Allah is over their hand. Everyone who has given bayat knows this. This is what we say when we put our hand in our sheikh's head. This ayah illustrates the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. We're reminded of what, as Muslims, we have been guided toward in our study and in our history. Our model lies in the life of Prophet Muhammad. We can see how Prophet lived, what he did, what he didn't do, what he told people to do and not to do. We can understand how he dealt with everything from life-threatening things to the mundane commercial transactions. Do you think that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planned how his life would play out? No. He accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan for him. And did he make plans to exert management skills? Did he take a course in management skills? Networking? Conflict prevention and resolution? Did he have a degree in that? A high degree? Of course, he did. He did. He took courses. He took one course. And the textbook. There's the textbook. There's the textbook. Two of them don't make it any better. One's sufficient. So then what is meant by not planning, and it's reciprocal, follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. To find out, we have to develop certain qualities, we have to develop certain understandings of ourselves and our capabilities. And what you hear me say is a repetition of what you heard this morning by Sheikh Nanami, but it's okay, because I'm going to come at it from a slightly different way, even though I'm going to say the same thing, you know, candlelight from here and a candlelight from here, and this one is a sandal candle, and this one is a musk candle, but they're both giving the same amount of light, and no much how many light candles we light from that one candle. No candle is going to lose anything and gain more. That's the way it is. We have to find the clarity, we have to find the courage to unlearn certain behaviors and learn how to learn new ones, including new definitions. And then we can learn the essence of this text, or begin to, and the essence of this message, and we can find the comfort in living and planning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. True believers are not constricted because the light of faith fills their hearts until their hearts are expanded. I like to say, filled full. That's what fulfillment is, filled full. And so a true believer, that is one who is true to their belief, not one who believes blindly, is a person who becomes fulfilled, content, at peace by the tadbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such hearts are made vast, as Sheikh said this morning, by encompassing light and knowledge, supported by the reality of the bounty of Allah, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the light of a laser, and I'm going to ask my spiritual daughter to forgive me, because this was her research for her master's degree, so I have to give my proper attribution to her. Talk to her about this. If the light, I didn't know she was coming today, so now I'm embarrassed. If the light of a laser created by the mind of a human being can be programmed to place nanodust under the membrane of a single cell before it splits, without harming the cell, and putting identity on the cell so you can understand its growth and its development, then how can we question the subtle power and the purpose of the light of the Nuri Allah, of the Nur of Allah, of the light of Allah, and its function and its purpose with regard to our growth and our transformation? Okay? Tamam? Okay. Well, you know, I learned from her. We're given the possibility of seeing and responding to the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day, each day, we're given the opportunity to see and respond appropriately to the tadbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we plan, and whatever plan there is that we create, as subtle and as wise as it may ultimately be, is nothing compared to the plan of our Rabb. Our choices must be in the realm of responding to the plan of Allah. And that is accomplished rightly only when we recognize that our lives are filled with the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of you were here for our series on Surah Al-Rahman, and we talked about the Allah and the Ni'mah and the Fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. only when we are ready to hear, when we're ready to attend to, and ready to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we commit to obeying Allah, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogates something we thought, or whether Allah confirms something we think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not responding to our plan, rather Allah responds to how we respond to Allah's plan. Allah is not responding to our plan. Rather, Allah is responding to how we respond to Allah. And the highest intentions and decrees of man are only a slight reflection of the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The decrees of Allah emanate from the alam al-amr, the world of command, to the alam al-khalaq, this world, the world of creation. And just as all things created by Allah's command respond to Allah in the language or form of their creation, that is beauty and majesty and function, for just to name three, any disturbance of this is disobedience to the will of Allah. I told you I'm going to speak about subtleties. And you're tired and your digestive enzymes are working and all that, but try to catch this, okay? Whatever preserves it, the it that I'm talking about is the command and the beauty and the function, that is in harmony with the beauty and the function of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an attestation and the affirmation of the will of Allah. Moreover, it is the fulfillment of the amanah, the trust that Allah created for us to fulfill. That's our job, ultimately. We're told in the Askandari text, Siddhi Askandari, when the decree has come down upon that person and the light emanate from him or her, that person is established by his Lord and not by himself. He is strengthened for his burdens and patient under his hardships.
Very good.
What is it that helps us to carry out the command of Allah? What is it that helps us to understand that this situation in our life, whatever it may be, is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What helps us to give up that whole idea that I'm planning, I'm managing, I'm the doer? What is it that opens the gates of understanding? Simply put, the answer is trust. Tawakkul, you heard Shaykh talk about. Trusting in Allah over trusting in yourself, over the trust of anything or anyone. Learning how to trust Allah without interpretation, without manipulation. So then, the question arises, what strengthens us in trust? It is the witnessing of the excellence of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for us, as opposed to what we choose for ourselves. Observe, for example, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages, not how we manage. Developing the ability to stand back and to view the larger picture of life, of life in general, the complexity of opportunities, the experiences of the intricacies and the interfaces of this physical world, with the subtleties of desires, the human needs, and allowing this awesome and obvious design to make its imprint on our hearts and our minds. Seeing that we are part of that, not apart from it. Part of that design, that this design or anything we do is not a part of our design, this liberates us from the egoistic ideas and the actions that we use to excuse our misconducts, our faulty planning, our faulty management, and disassociated, inharmonious goals that alienate us from the values, the true values, the true beliefs, the virtues of an ethical and sincere life. All we have to do to accomplish that, quiet our ego, is to see that we're part of the greater design. And when we are in stress, we say in English, you know, I'll manage, I'll manage. How are you doing? I'll manage. It's very hard to understand that whatever the I does is by the plan of Allah and the will of Allah. If we manage, it will only be by the will of Allah. Only with that humility can we begin to accept our states, we can begin to accept our role, our gains, our losses, more over our existence. And with humility, we can move from the offhand offhanded kind of articulation of it all comes from Allah, well, it all comes from Allah, to attaining true belief and true understanding of that truth is a journey of courage, a journey of submission, a journey of being patient, seeing what Allah chooses for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not choose for us ever what is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not choose for us what is destructive. Allah does not choose for us what causes pain to others or what turns others away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not choose for us things that destroy our planet or His creation, meaning His creation. And if you are patient and trust, you will see the plan of Allah take form. Those are markers. You can look at those and ask yourself the question, does this do that? If it is, it's not from Allah, it's from me. Or I'm buying into whatever somebody else did. I'm accepting that over Allah's will. Never anything destructive, never anything hurtful to anybody else, never anything haram, never anything confusing, never. And so if you open Quran and you're confused, it's your confusion. Allah is not trying to confuse you. So then you have to say, why am I confused? What am I bringing to this that's confusing me? Al-Sindari, then Sheikh Al-Sindari says, what strengthens us from carrying out the decree is witnessing the excellence of what He chooses. What gives them patience at the existence of His judgment is the knowledge of the existence of His supreme knowledge, of His supreme knowledge. And what gives them patience with what occurs is their knowledge that Allah sees. Allah sees. And also, what gives them patience at His decrees is their knowledge of what is deposited in them by His subtle rahmat and mercy. So then where are we? Hand in hand with trust is sabr, patience. Sabr, perseverance. What allows us eventually to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop planning, tadbir, even without Allah's plan being clear to us, is patience. Patience and perseverance, along with the knowledge that Allah has deposited in each one of us His mercy and His kindnesses. And therefore, if we are not acting out of mercy and kindness, not only are we denying the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are certainly not in favor with Allah. And that may mean nothing for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 70 years, as Sheikh was saying earlier. But on your deathbed, it will mean something. Be assured. From that, there is no escape. The human being's sense of worth is all too often tied to the concept of doing, managing, planning, accomplishing. As he said, what kind of car, what kind of money, how much money, I'm going to start at 70 grand a year, whatever. All this on my own, by myself. We've all said it. Yet reality tells us that all that is evanescent. Tragedy can strike, young or old, loss can come and will come early or late. Gain brings along with it temptations of greed, lust, fear, and fear, or fear of loss. And yet we continue on my own to manage, to plan. Of course, we shy away from this topic underlying the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and placing our plans within that, because instead the moments of clarity that come when we see the magnificence, when we see the vastness, when we see the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His plan, and how Allah manages and how Allah conducts the symphony of life and demands of us right conduct, they're all overshadowed by fear and ego that claims doership in itself and self-aggrandizement. So rather than plan every minute, we have to understand what it means to be respondent to the reality that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is every minute, in every minute. What it really means to respond appropriately to one or more of those 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are present, that are operant in every second of our existence, every circumstance right now, this very second. Responding to the moments of rising and the falling in our life before our eyes, things that come before our eyes, that come to our ears, in our hearts, in our souls, moments of compassion, moments of mercy, moments of happiness, moments of sadness, moments of forgiveness, moments of protection, moments where we should be forgiving, where we should be protecting, a hafizu, of gratitude, of shukr, of justice, of adl, of salam, of tabakku, until we realize that we are respondents. As I said, tadabbur means reflection, meditation, thinking, consideration. And if we keep this in mind, we see that it reflects a different kind of planning. It's self-reflective, it's internally consistent, and it's founded, directed, founded kind of on a faith that is directed and managing of our life in a good way, in the best way. The utmost plan arrived at through our meditation and our contemplation and our thinking and our consideration and reflection on what is directly in front of us. This moment, not something we're going to think about later, not some philosophical idea we're going to contemplate after work today on the ride home, or we're listening to a CD by Sheikh Ahmad Abdul Rashid, or Sheikh Nuruddin Durki, or Sheikh Ninawi, or someone else. And when we have this attitude of looking what's right in our face, it allows Allah's plan to come and to be emerging from us, and to be seen and to be felt and sensed in our day-to-day life. Most students invariably ask, what does it mean, Sheikh Rashid, they'll say, what does it mean that we never make any decisions, we never plan? No, it doesn't mean that at all, of course. I said that earlier. Every day we're making decisions, every day we're planning, but do we ask and truly seek to understand in the context of planning in terms of what and planning why? Are we making those decisions in the safe context of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have us do? In the safe context of what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have us do? In the safe and secure context of our fitra, in the context of being good people, kind people, patient and loving? If we're not thinking about goodness and kindness and patience and loving, submission and trust and justice, then there's a chance that our decisions and our planning are going to be colored in a different way. You're going to have the taint of selfishness. Or in the context of trust. Or are we planning in the context of being selfish and impatient and worried and career and money minded and striving for power or for personal material security, wanting this right now, trying to control time, trying to control place, trying to control circumstance? We all know the answer. We want to be the first, we do the last. Think of it this way, just as our bodies respond to light and heat and infusion of food and water and to viruses and to bacteria and to toxins and to nutrients naturally and in harmony with the plan of life within us, are perfect examples of the cohesive and operant plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our physical and in our mental and our emotional systems. Sheikh touched on this, I'm going to touch on it too. Think for a moment about how submission to those involuntary systems is necessary for us to live and hence are created to be autonomic or automatic. That means out of our control, right? But not out of our influence. We could not sustain our life if these processes were controlled by our choice. Impossible. Although we can choose to abuse ourselves and degrade and eventually destroy those systems, which many of us have done to some degree, or we can help to sustain their balance and harmony by making plans and choices and managing our environment, our food, our breath, and support of their perfectly created, purposefully intended will of Allah. We can, in smaller and larger ways, help ourselves to fulfill the will and the plan of Allah. Reflect again on this analogy, okay? It is a mithal, an example of the divine reality. Our hearts beat, our lungs breathe, our stomach digests like now. Did I hear something just now? And all the miracles, must have been mine, and all the miracles of the body that keep us alive every second, only at the will of Allah. And yet we can plan and control what we put into our body. We can treat it, how we treat our body. We can plan and control how we exercise, or if we exercise, or if we take our vitamins, or what we choose to eat. And if we're ill, we can stimulate the immune system to heal itself, but it is the body that does the real healing by the plan of Allah. And so too, we can control and plan how we respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. But it's ultimately His design. If I said to you, here, I've got this magic wand, it looks like a cell phone, but it's a magic wand. Yeah, well, we'll get into that. Anyway, wait a minute, I have a text message. If I say to you, look, I'm going to touch you with this, now you have the power, but you always wanted, you can control your breathing totally, but it's only under your control. How long do you think you're going to live? You're going to live 5 minutes? That's certainly a way to get over distractions. Nothing in the world will distract you, because every breath you take will be totally at your will. It's impossible. Allah made it so we don't have. That's a proof. That's a mithal. That's an example of what we don't have, that we try to get in every other way, but we're very happy not to have it when it comes in terms of our life. Right? Delighted. Okay, Allah, that's for you to take care of. But give me total control over everything else. It's like, you know, you can drink the water, but you can't excrete it, huh? I'm going to give you all the choice in the world you want about how your body operates, how your nervous system operates, how your autonomic nervous system operates. Whoa, you don't want it. Believe me, you don't want it. Right? Ultimately, we're going to realize that this creation and all of its operations are the metaphors and analogies through which we can accept and we can understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and how our planning must correspond to it. If that's true, and if you accept that statement a priori, look what a beautiful example He's given us. Look what we've done to it. Look at the mountains and the rivers and the skies and the oceans, and the birds that fly and the fish in the sea, and the ships that float on the water. Look at all of this. If it's just a metaphor for us helping to understand Tadbir, what a wonderful opportunity. How beautiful it is. He could have done it out of punishment. Why do you give us so much beautiful things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you have no blessing nor favor except that it comes from Allah. And Shaykh Askandari says, and never will the existence of His favors and blessings leave you if you seek an explication of your evolving of your stages and states in life. Then listen to His saying. He said, quoting Quran, we created man from a quintessence of clay, and then we placed it in a drop of sperm in a place of rest firmly fixed, and then we made this sperm into a clot of congealed blood, and then that clot we made into a fetus lump, and then we made out of the lump bones and clothed it with flesh, and then we just developed out of it another creature, a note, and so blessed be Allah, the best of creators. Then after that length you will die, and then on the day of resurrection you will be raised back. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday I was with a scholar who said to me he received a letter from from a doctor who was using this to say, see how wrong it all is, because you're not made out of congealed blood. Then he quoted all the things in the Quran and explained embryology to the doctor, because he himself is a doctor. And he explained the embryology to him, and he said, why was it conceived of that way? I won't go into the explanation. If you're interested, ask me about it. It's a very interesting explanation about it. And
how the embryo develops. Although it was right before anybody could have known what was going on that level of microbiology. That's Tadbir-Allah. So which of his favors do you give thanks for, and which of his bounties do you mention? My dear friends, know that a person who wishes to arrive at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should enter the door by the means that Allah has provided. The most important of these is that he or she should purify herself or himself of the existence of their own planning and contesting the will of Allah. How do we know what is the will of Allah? Good question. Thank you. You're welcome. What illuminates his plan for us? We say, I don't see how this or that is going to happen. That's right. You don't see. Allah sees. We're in darkness and we cannot see Allah's plan, but that doesn't mean there isn't a plan. Did you ever hit your shin on the edge of your bed in the dark of the night? Huh? You didn't see it, but it sure was there. What's the matter? I hit my shin. I'm sorry. Go back to sleep. Yeah? Every wife has said that to a husband, every husband has said that to a wife. Unless, of course, you live in a Japanese house that has no wooden beds or something like that, and everything's on the floor. Then you trip over the futon and you break your neck. What we do in the light would be something totally different than we do in the dark. When I come out into the room and it's a dark room, I change what I do. Right? If there's light in the room, I wouldn't think about what I'm doing. I just walk from the door to the bed. That's when the moon's out, because I have things in the ceiling, you know. But when it's dark, I have to change what I do. What we do in the light is something different than we do in the dark. Spiritual life allows us to carry what we have learned forward. What we will do with spiritual light is different than what we do when we don't have that spiritual light. What we concentrate on when we have spiritual light is different than what we concentrate on when we're in the darkness. And we think that we think we're in the light and we're in darkness, and we think that what we're thinking is right and how we're thinking is right. It's the only way to think. But when the light comes on, you don't have to think about that stuff anymore. Tadbir is very intimately linked to the ego. Because it's about planning for yourself versus planning to reflect the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepting the planning of Allah. To understand the will of Allah and to have a reason to carry that will forward takes courage, my friends. Takes a lot of courage. That's real independence and proof of your self-control. That's the real independence. Real proof of self-control. That's a builder of self-esteem. It's based on the ability to accept Allah's tadbir. It's building on your life, my future, our spirituality, individually and collectively, on something that will last. Not building your house on sand, as it says in the Injil. Planning for or with the will of Allah is not anthropomorphizing God, Allah as God. Rather, it is planning fully with the affirmation, intention, actions that reflect the divine attributes that we spoke about earlier, that are the reflections and the aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence within and around us all the time. Thus, to respond, you see, to the plan of Allah is to respond, for example, with true compassion when it's needed, with mercy when it's needed, with forgiveness when it's needed, with justice, with tolerance, with perseverance, with trust, with love when it's needed. Same list you heard Sheikh say. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to us, as it's exemplified in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respond naturally, not pridefully, transparently, not conditionally, referencing Allah and His revelation and the Prophet, peace be upon him, not referencing oneself. Living in the light of Allah, Nuri Allah. Real lights open the world of the Alam al-Amr, the world of command. And they let us see that what is truly near to us is what is real. Spiritually, that means the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing to us what is real. Not the reality we want to create, not the reality we want to think. The problem, of course, as we all know, with what is real, is that sometimes what's real is painful. And it's difficult. And it's challenging. And it's filled with tests and trials. My Sheikh passed 1 year ago. That was a big test and trial. That's why tadbir is often linked with patience, and patience with Allah's command, and patience with Allah's will and plans. And when we see what is near to us, and what decrees, and what knowledge come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet's peace be upon him hadith, or his sirah, his life, and through the teachings of our mushids or our shuyukh, then our life experiences truly become a means of understanding. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training us through perseverance and patience, training us through trust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have patience at the command of your Lord, for you are verily in our eyes. The eyes are the organs of light. The eyes are the means through which we see what He illumines. And even the hardships most come from the most compassionate one. That is difficult to remember, difficult for us to accept, that the hardships, the trials, the difficulties, the tests come from the one who is Ar-Rahman, who is Ar-Rahim. So we have to try to look at them in the sense of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose is for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ends our choices. Choice is the unique gift of Allah to human beings, beginning with Hazrat Adam. As we're making choices all the time, who, as Sheikh pointed out again, who knew what they did not know? I know what we do not know. And at some point you realize, as much as you haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish in dunya, that too was Allah's plan. To get us to the point where we would choose to live our lives spiritually, to turn our attention to spirituality and to Allah's plan, not our plan. One could say to Allah, the suffering of the tribulation is lessened for me because of the knowledge that is you who is decreeing this trial for me, as Sheikh Al-Sundari says. And that would be a wonderful thing to be able to say. Oh Allah, I have this tribulation, this loss, this grief, this financial need, whatever it is. But the pain of it is lessened for me because it is you who have decreed it for me. Wow. And there is no substitute then for what Allah has decreed. And there's nothing one could choose that would be better than Allah's choice, even the tests and the trials and the pains. So let's think of it this way. Sheikh Iskandari tells a story. He says, someone enters a dark house and was struck by someone in the house, but he didn't know who it was that hit him, and all of a sudden the light comes on and he sees it was his sheikh or his father or his teacher who had struck him. And the knowledge he has of those people would cause him to be more patient in understanding that circumstance than if it was a stranger or an enemy. Have we not all experienced that? If the challenge, if the pain, if the suffering, if the trial, if the test comes from someone you respect and know has the best intentions for you, you're going to deal with it a lot differently than if it comes from someone you don't know or who you know is your enemy. Knowing the source of the hardship, we try to gain understanding, just as we should know that the tests and the trials come from Allah. It'll give us a lot of help. Tell it to yourself till you believe it. Believe it when the test comes. It's easy to believe something you tell to yourself until the test comes, right? So then you have to say, wait a minute, hold on. This is the test. You don't want to say, gee, I should have thought it came from Allah for the last 3 months while I've been struggling with this. You want to move that timeline up and up and up. Thank God I've only been struggling with this for a week, because last time it was 2 weeks or 2 months. He says, Sheikh Al-Kandar, if it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent this decree upon his servant and opens the door of his understanding concerning that decree, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to carry it for him. And it is by the virtue of the fact that the true understanding returns to Allah, urging and inciting you toward him, urging you and inciting, big word, huh? Inciting. We don't like that word. Inciting better. Great word. Making you depend on him. What is this, codependence with God? Well, Dr. Riaz is a psychiatrist. You can talk to me about that. Whoever places his trust in Allah, he will suffice it. There's a good codependence. And there's a bad codependence. Want to know who knows the good codependence? People of Tariqah. We're forced to know the good codependence. That doesn't mean only, but that's on our, that's on the, what do you call it, the, syllabus for Sufism. It's on the syllabus. That's a basic course you got to take if you're going to be a Sufi. You can't excuse. That's it. You can't even take it past that. You're going to get graded in it. Basic core course. You can tell I taught in college. Okay. Through trust, we understand that these trials and these tests come out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if we learn trust, we create the foundation not only for successful human interactions, the tolerance for the vicissitudes of life, the character fulfilling the trust, the amanat, but more importantly, if there is something more important, the basis for facing the transition from this world to the next world. Because that's what all this is about. All that is about. How to live here, get there. If there was a choice of getting there or not getting there, we wouldn't need these tests. We wouldn't need it. So, I'm not going there, so I don't have to start with. Believe it or not, there are people who think that. Christopher Hitchens thinks that. Well, I don't want to get political today. And to learn that lesson, there has to be the stress and strain over trust. Yeah, I wish I could just have trust with no problems. You know, trust me. Okay. Fine. Now what next? What do I do next? I trust you. Now what do I do next? Well, I'm going to test you now. Okay, fine. Test me. Oh, good. You passed the test. Well, thank you for telling me you were going to test me. But I trust you. It's not that way. Few people in this world take the time to understand this. That's why we trust to a degree. Why we find that beyond the degree, that specific degree, a person is generally only out for himself and herself. Gee, I think I heard this within the last 3 hours. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts and consoles us when we're attacked by difficulties, when we're distracted by our nafs, when we lose our discernment, when we lose our discrimination, when we wander astray. How does this consolation take form? Our consolation is that we come, consolation is that which comes to us from the subtleties of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favors, the fadl, the ni'mah, the Allah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from our core human nature, fitrah, to submit. And our inherent communal nature to be in sohbet, ummah, to be in the company of others. The right company. It's a keystone in the building of success, spiritual success. Our choice, thus, has to be to keep good company, pious company, like today. You don't know, really. Are you happy together here today? You look around. No, not you who travel together. Look at somebody who's strange. Who really looks strange to you. Different generation. They look different. They have a different costume on. Whatever it is. Do you think that under any other circumstances you'd be in a room this long with that person? Do you think they would possibly be your friend? I don't know. There was one Sufi Sheikh who was sick a lot. Much to the surprise of his followers, he prayed to Allah that his sickness not go away. Because the sickness he saw was the Medad, the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his journey. And with the sickness he saw came opportunity. And through that illness and suffering, so many questions came, so many compensations had to be made, so many understandings had to be developed in him, so much muhasabah had to take place, so much accounting had to take place, so much questioning beyond the why me kind of, you know, why me, why is this happening to me, which allows him to understand the nuance, the subtleties, the unveiling of the unseen reasons. It became obvious to him that this illness was the greatest blessing to him, and that he wasn't able to see these things without it. They were glasses that were put on him. You see, I can't see to put on my glasses, right? I can feel to put on my glasses. When I have my glasses on, I don't have to worry about what I'm feeling about my glasses, right? Correctors. We have to realize that whatever our current struggle is, whatever our challenge is, it is giving us an opportunity to turn our attention more toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a situation in which we have to seize the moment. Each hardship, each challenge gives us the opportunity to develop an ability inside ourselves to turn our attention away from dunya, from this world, toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why? Because Allah has turned you away from dunya for a period of time. A lot of people turn more toward dunya when faced with hardships. Gee, I don't have any income. I've lost my income. I don't have this, I don't have that, my business isn't doing well, I don't have any clients, I better put more time in at work, I need a better plan, Medicare isn't paying what they used to pay for my services. But your compensation for that is to turn toward the one who plans the whole thing for you. And if you don't do that, if we don't do that, if we keep planning for ourselves, those lessons keep getting harder and harder and harder, and the clock is ticking. But remember that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once saw a mother and said to the Sahaba, would this mother throw her child into the fire? And they said, of course not. So he replied, Allah is more merciful to his believing servant than a mother is to a child. He decrees for you these sufferings because of what is in them of rewards, benefits, blessings. Believe me, I'm not talking theory to you. I'm talking my last 12 months of my life to you. A year of great tests and trials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in hadith puts to the lips of Prophet Muhammad, for those who don't understand, those who patiently persevere will truly receive a reward without any measure. The rest of the Quran tells us everything's measured. Right? Everything's measured. Except Allah tells. If you persevere patiently, there's a reward beyond measure. And as we were told by Shaykh Abul Hasan al-Shadli radiallahu anhu, know that if the real deprives you, he does not deprive you out of stinginess or niggardliness, but rather out of mercy to you. Deprivation from Allah is a gift, but no one understands the gift in the deprivation but the utterly sincere individual. Ikhlas. You heard Ikhlas? Ikhlas. Ikhlas. Say Ikhlas. Yes, sincerity. How high a regard our predecessors held this concept. In the Hikam of Askandari, he wrote, the pain of trial is lightened for you by the knowledge that it is he who is trying you. For the one who confronts you with his decrees of fate is the same one who accustoms you to his good choice. So my dear ones, try to accept, all of us have to try to accept what our duties are. Remember the subtlety of what I've tried to say about planning. It's not that we don't plan. We do strategic planning. We do business planning. We plan for tomorrow. We have a to-do list. How many of you have a to-do list? See? You don't want to have a to-don't list. You could do that too, but it would be longer. We have a to-do list. To deny the efficacy of this teaching of Ibn Atallah is a product of the nafs reluctance to understand the foundation of Islam. Believe me. To deny, to say, oh, what is this? Allah planned everything over. It is simply that it denies the efficacy of the foundation of Islam, or taslim, surrender, trust.
Abandon rebelliousness. That's what we need to do. To abandon rebelliousness by examining ourselves and applying this guidance. Move to the higher states of nafs. Arrive at the station of contentment where you find khawf. Fear of Allah. Awe. Respect of Allah. It's not that simple, you know. It's the context in which our content is planned. We think that if we are just altruistic, that's enough. If we're egalitarian, that's great, that's sufficient. But that's all dunya. It's gonna pass. It's what you do underneath that. How you do it. Who it is that's doing it, which is much more important. Ask yourself, what is the test and the trial I have? How will I distract myself, convince myself, manipulate myself in my situation to pretend this is not a test or a trial? How will I turn to Allah and know spiritually what is the right thing to know and the right thing to say and the right thing to do? What is my real responsibility as a Muslim, as a Sufi, as a human being, as a believer? What shall I really choose to struggle with out of all of these things? The stuff that I'm planning? Or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put before me? Remember this from Ibn Athallah Al-Iskandari radiallahu anhu. We have now established that the praiseworthy ceasing of tadbir does not consist necessarily of leaving the secondary causes of the world, asbab of dunya, or neglecting to consider the means toward the well-being of one's worldly life, or aiding in one's obedience to the master and working for the sake of one's hereafter. Rather, the tadbir which is forbidden concerning this world is the tadbir in it for its own sake. And the sign of that is that one disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of it, and that one takes it, however it may be, whether permitted or not. Let me take it from another side for a few minutes. Inshallah, from our contemplation of tadbir and our growing understanding of khawf, doesn't mean being afraid of Allah, means being in awe of Allah. How'd you do that? How'd you make that rainbow? Wow. How did I escape that crazy person driving? Whoa. And we think in terms of the past seminars we've had here, the gatherings on Allah, Ni'mat and Fadl, the bounties, we're coming to a conclusion, I think, that there is a big difference between doing what I'm supposed to do and choosing to follow Allah and Allah's plan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. The topics can put the ego, these topics can put the ego, the nafs amara, and its machinations into real focus. If we approach these topics with real sincerity, real ikhlas, not defensively, not dogmatically, not reacting to our own personal historical experiences of ideology or religion, but if we try to understand the kind of orchestrated chords and instrumentation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's provided for us to create a harmony of understanding and existence, to bring us to different experiences and maqam stations, we begin to understand why this term maqam is used both in music and in Islam and in Sufic teachings, especially stages, stations. If we understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blended the physical world with our emotions and our perceptions, our abilities to perceive and feel, we begin to clearly see how our ego, our nafs amara, is an irritant and stands in the way of ease. It stands in the way of understanding the challenges that come from when we're following the tadbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with some insight, we begin to see how gross and how disruptive this nafs amara is, how dissonant it is, how it creates a cacophony in our mind and in our soul. And when we begin to see that subtlety, we begin to understand why we begin to have at our command millions of colors that Allah has provided for us to color our life, to tint the moment with, or to return to the musical analogy, the quarter tones instead of just the whole notes. The subtleties of what once would be dissonant to our ears becomes consonant and blended harmonically and reflective. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned for us, which is sometimes
very, very, very difficult to understand and very painful in the course of the whole maqam or the dastah. We find it means something. We see it in another form. We see it in another image. How do we arrive at that understanding other than through some kind of intellectual acceptance of it? We arrive at the same way that we arrive at any understanding, any clarity, through sincerity, ikhlas, through niyat, intention, through islam, taslim, through surrender and submission, through yakin, certainty. We know when the tone is right, just like we say, it's not what you said, but the tone of your voice. They gave a different meaning to the words which you heard. I didn't say that. No, it's not what you said. It's the tone of your voice. How many of you play musical instruments? Studied music at some point, okay? You know when things out of tune, you know? Same thing. We say something. What did you say to me? What did you say? No, I didn't say that. I said that. Yeah, but it was the tone of your voice. Just as in the heart of the poet, the maqam and the qanun or the sitar or the tar translates immediately into words. The actions of an individual, we say, speak louder than their words, right? No matter what words we say, it's the rhythm of our words, the rhythm of our life. The choices of our words, the choices in our life. The plan of those words or those tones or that music, the plan of our life, to tell a lot about the state of mind or mindlessness, hope or hopelessness, need or helplessness, humility or arrogance of the individual. And that's why this tadbir, planning, is such an important subject. It's not just about saying, oh, I'll just follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned for me. The life, words, choices of the individual creates a form. They create and enable a maqam. And if we've achieved the state gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us in the moment, that's a hal, a temporary state, a moment of sweet gifting. We become comfortable with that state. We become comfortable with the placement of Allah, albeit it may be painful, it may be confusing, it may or may not be what we planned for ourselves. We might not be getting the $70,000 starting salary, but we give it up. It's a very, very important discipline to trust in Allah. It pervades your life. It's ingrained in this human being who makes a sincere choice based on belief and submits and surrenders to accept that plan. The rest of us think we can argue it, lawyer it, or whatever we want to do with it, but there is a difference between just blind faith and illumined faith. And finding the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to hear the celestial music. To be touched by a word, to be touched by a phrase, to understand the relationship between the tone and our emotion that Allah has placed in us, to respond accordingly with respect to what is needed. And of course, it has to do with our niyyah, our intention, and our sincerity, our ikhlas. And all that we're talking about in this text of Ibn Athal Iskandari, may Allah bless his soul and keep him in his light. In this text, as in the Quran, all of it is built upon a foundation of niyat, of respect, accord, listening. Remember, he said, know that things become praiseworthy or blameworthy according to what they lead to. That's a big subject for a whole other seminar. And we know that from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that actions follow intentions, and allowing the core of our humanness to respond and respect and to be respecting and to be honest, whether it is to our liking or not, is a means to fulfillment. So the dropping of self-direction, iskadal tadbir, does not involve completely leaving the worldly way, the worldly means. Iskandari does not let us run away from the reality of submission. Rather, he forces us to confront ourselves, forces us to look at life, forces us to question the relationships between others and with Allah, forces us to ask the hard questions and to develop the subtlety of hearing and the subtlety of seeing and the subtlety of understanding. And in so doing, we assure that we are not like those who are described in Surah Al-Araf. They have hearts, but they don't understand with them. They have eyes, but they don't see with them. They have ears, but they don't hear with them. They are like livestock, except for the fact that they are further astray. They're human. And we have to learn the hard lesson of respect for responsibility we have. Whether we planned it ourselves or it was given to us by our parents, respecting the capacities we have, the capabilities we have, whether or not we want to use them or pretend that they're there or not there. We have to respect patience and perseverance that came from Sidna Adam and Hawa. May Allah bless them both and keep their souls alive in us, our parents. And it emanates from the core of our being. Understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that they eat of the fruit of the tree, it was part of His plan. He didn't abandon them. He provided a means for them to find by their choice, and He enabled their choice. Read carefully chapter 4, pages 32 to 36 in this book. Read carefully. Understand what we choose as happiness or misery. If we allow a harmony to build between ourselves and nature, between ourselves and other expressions of Allah's love, my I becomes totally absorbed in Thou. Who understands this? Only the ones who really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who trust in Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon Him, and His Anbiya and His Awliya and His Shield. Because in them you will see absolute responses to that love, that emotion, that music, if you will. You will hear and see and become one, if you want to use that kind of term, with the maqam. The vulnerability, of course, is clear. Sidna Musa had his doubts, alayhi salam. Sidna Ibrahim, alayhi salam, we heard again, had his doubt. You saw his vulnerability when he was told to slay his son. Sidna Yusuf, Sidna Yunus, Sidna Noah, Sidna Yahya, Sidna Isa, peace be upon all of them. You see clearly in their lives their vulnerability and their struggle to follow the plan of Allah and not their own plan. Oh Allah, do you really have to make it rain that much? Could I just sail a little way? Or maybe the whale could sort of jump at me, but it don't have to swallow me, kind of thing. No. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to see his followers destroyed by their faith. They were being beaten. They were being humiliated. They were being cast out. All of that vulnerability was in public. In a culture that doesn't like public displays of humiliation, by the way. Right? Not like the United States. That's an editorial. Following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan would be easy if you could say, I'll just do what I want, when I want it, and I'll remember that you let me do that. Now that's clever, right? I promise I'll remember you're letting me do what I want when I want. Well, it's true, we can do what we want, but we don't remember. But Allah tells us this is shirk. It's choosing your own choices over Allah's choices. So that's comparing yourself to Allah, right? So it's shirk. Comparing your knowledge to Allah's, your insight to Allah's. So, let me start to conclude. In conclusion, let's pause for a moment to contemplate the secrets of niyyah. Intention can have far more effect than you can realize. Here's a story. Umar ibn Abdulaziz became caliph, radiallahu anhu. The shepherd said, who is this pious man who is taking charge of the people? It was then said, and what knowing do you have of this that happened? He replied, whenever a just caliph takes charge of the people, then the wolves leave our sheep alone. Read the signs of who you are, where you are, what's connected. All connected. Tawheed is not a philosophy. It's a reality. Look into your own life, into the lives of your loved ones, your family, your friends. What are the choices? What are the intentions that are being made individually and collectively? These are very, very important matters. True for both the negative and the positive intentions. If human beings justify evil and their intentions are bad, more evil will come from it and be born of it. And spread, even though it wasn't the initial intention or purpose. Look at the war.
look at the endless war that's being perpetrated. Ideologically endless war. Supposed to be endless war. Because with the endless war comes lots of profit. With the endless war comes lack of freedoms. And freedoms mean people stop thinking. If you don't take the freedom away, they stop thinking. They surrender. I surrender. But it's not the surrender, it's not passing. There are very subtle matters we should think over deeply, encourage each other to think about, and our loved ones to think about deeply, 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 using the examples of our own life and the examples of the world, not only philosophically, but personally, to plant these principles in a human being's heart so the human being can preserve their heart from evil and corruption is sadaka. Sadaka is not giving $10 to somebody on the street. Yes, that is true, of course. But to plant these principles in the heart and that will preserve the heart from evil and corruption, that's sadaka. When you implant that into someone's heart, it's the will of Allah. And when a person enters into an act of trust, and when we enter into an act of obedience, whether it's salat or tasbih or reading Quran or zakat or sadaka, or visiting the sick, or attending a funeral, or acting out of worship, or engaging in service of your beloved, or fulfilling your duties and responsibilities, then you won't engage in anything that's forgetful or heedless, or less and less. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to remember Him, and He'll remember us. This is living in the tadbir of Allah, managing our life by His will. And that'll come naturally. It starts to come naturally. When you know you're on the right path is when all that good stuff starts coming naturally. And someone comes up to you and says, oh, thank you for your good adab. And you say, what adab? Thank you so much for your kindness. And you think, wow, was that kindness? What do you mean? Come naturally. Whoever mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of heedlessness, Allah will turn away from them. And whoever mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of remembrance, Allah will run for them. So I'll end today with a quotation from my Shaykh, peace be upon his soul, Hazrat Azad Rasul. He said to us, I only ask one thing from my students and nothing else. That please, you try to surrender your will to the will of Allah. If you can do this, you will receive something good. Always there is a conflict between your will and the will of Allah. If you can reduce this conflict, you will surrender yourself to the will of Allah and take it for granted then that you have realized the Almighty to a certain extent. You will be happy more and more. This is the secret, I think, he said. If you can do this, you will attain the goal. If you don't have any kind of thought or will or wish, but you surrender to the Almighty. And what comes from Him, you accept, bad or good. Or this is something coming from the Beloved. God is one. I only ask one thing. Every time you see, you make a promise, and you are not able to accomplish all these things, you are having a conflict with the will of the Almighty. So make an intention, and be willing to accept what comes from Him. We make plenty of promises we don't keep. But if we make a promise that's consistent with the will of Allah, there'll be a way to keep it. So again, it's another sign. It's another mithal, example of how you know where you are and where you're not. I hope Allah forgive me for any mistakes I've made, and that there's some clarity in the practicality of this, some answer to those questions that our ego raises. Allahumma inna zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadika. Oh Allah, help us to remember You, to be grateful to You, and to worship You in the best way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Questions and answers around that period of time, and then the Azan will come. We have to be the masjid in 35 minutes. So if people don't have wudu towards the end of it, go.
Yeah, just do what you need to do. If anybody wants to stay and ask a question, I'm happy to sit here if you don't take the time to get up.
You can't get up. You have to.